Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Revolution Studios. Imagine Entertainment. Revolution Studios and Imagine Entertainment present Tom Green and Jason Lee in Stealing Harvard. With Leslie Mann, Megan Mullally, Dennis Farina, Richard Jenkins, John C. McGinley, Chris Penn, Seymour Castle, Tammy Blanchard. Screenplay by Peter Tolan, story by Martin Hines and Peter Tolan. Directed by Bruce McCullough. At the races, a young man in his 20s is standing beside a topiaried jockey and rider.
People always talk about fate, destiny. I never used to believe in all that. Some things are just out of your control, like my parents. They died when I was 18, and there was nothing I could do about that. But was that fate? Then you would have to say everything was fate. Who you spend your life with. What you end up doing for a living. Is everything that happens prepackaged and served to me by some higher power? I didn't think so, but there has to be some explanation. Because my life was totally different just a couple weeks ago.
I went to the bank today.
Yeah?
Have you checked our balance lately?
No. Wait. Did we? Did we do it?
We did it! We have exactly $30,006.
We can get married!
Yes.
Woo!
Yes. And I know you thought it was silly to wait until we had this money before we got married, but now we can put a down payment on a house, we can plan a family.
Elaine was incredible.
I'm so happy. Mm. Not here. You can kiss me at home.
Although she did have one odd habit. She always cried when we made love. Very loud crying, which made it kind of tough to concentrate.
Are you okay? Hi, sweetie.
Elaine ran a gift basket business out of the house, and it was just about to turn the corner. And I was the assistant manager at Homespital, a store that sold medical supplies for the home.
A mobility vehicle.
I know it's a lot of money, sir, but it's a lot of chair.
John, in my office.
Excuse me.
Hi, I'm home.
If there was one small problem with my job, it was that I was working for Elaine's father, Mr. Warner. There always seemed to be an unspoken tension between us.
John, boy, come on in. Sit down. My little girl told me the big news. Well, I'm glad, John. I'm really glad.
Yes, sir. He wasn't glad. He hated me. I think he even trained his dog, Rex, to hate me, too.
You're an honorable kid, and by gum, you just don't see that these days, and I really appreciate the fact that you have been true to your word to me and that you have not slept with my daughter. Have you slept with her, John?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna give you a few seconds of immunity here. Now, if you have slept with her, you tell me here, you tell me now, and we'll let it go. Have you slept with my daughter?
Mr. Warner, I have never slept with Elaine.
Good! God damn it, that's good. Because if you had, John, I was gonna kick your balls up into your head and let them rattle around in your skull like dice in a Yahtzee cup. Have a good one.
To be completely honest, he sort of gave me the creeps. He had a slightly weird relationship with his daughter. But aside from that and my job, life was pretty good.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, John, take a look at this biscuit basket. Do you think the biscotti makes it look too busy?
No, it looks great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It does look good. I'm proud of this basket.
You should be. It's good work.
Thank you.
We should head to my sister soon.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going.
Elaine never liked my sister, Patty. Maybe it's because Patty was a free spirit. I say free spirit because I'm uncomfortable calling my own sister sexually indiscriminate trailer trash.
Hey, Patty.
Where's Elaine?
Headache.
Oh, poor thing. Probably from being such a bitch 24/7.
You know, she really likes you.
Yeah. And I'm growing a dick. How about that?
Actually, Elaine wanted me to give you this gift basket.
Oh, God, fantastic! Because this one was starting to reek. Ooh.
A cat litter.
Thank you.
I hope you didn't clean on my account.
Hey, you know what? It has been crazy around here, all right? Both of the cats ran away. Both of them. Two cats, MIA. I'm gonna make them do a thing like that.
Self-respect?
Hi, Uncle John.
Hey.
Noreen's my niece. We're not too sure who her dad is, so I always spent as much time with her as I could.
Happy Halloween.
Hi. What are you?
I'm the Statue of Liberty.
I guess you could say I'm the closest thing she has to a father figure.
Good luck.
Thanks, Uncle John.
Come on, these carcasses don't move themselves.
And I'm proud to say she turned out to be a great kid. Genuine, hardworking, and in spite of everything that had happened around her, normal.
Hi.
So why are we watching these?
We're celebrating. Noreen has news.
Please tell me you're not pregnant.
Uncle John. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Remember this day?
Hi, sorry I'm late. Traffic. Has the spelling bee started yet?
She's already out. They got her on her first word. Thing was rigged. I'm writing a letter.
Oh, Noreen, I'm sorry. What was the word she couldn't spell?
Tarp.
Tarp?
Yeah.
T-A-R-P?
Great. Where were you 5 minutes ago?
She's stupid.
No, you're not. You're smart. Yes, darling. You're gonna do great in school. You're gonna go to college. You're gonna be brilliant.
Well, Uncle John, you were half right. I don't know if I'm brilliant, but guess who got into Harvard?
You what?
I got accepted into Harvard University.
You're kidding. That's what all this is about? Harvard? That's incredible.
I know.
Oh, my little goddamn genius.
See what I tell you. You work hard and follow your dreams and things will always work out.
You're right.
Oh. Huh? I bet you're sorry you made that promise.
What promise?
Oh, wait, here it comes, my favorite part.
I'm never gonna go into college now.
Yes, you will. I guarantee it. I believe in you so much, you know what I'm gonna do?
What?
I'm paying for it. You get into college, and I'll pay for it. And that's a promise from your Uncle John.
I'll be right back.
John bashes his head against the bathroom mirror.
Idiot. You know, Noreen, a lot of kids are just taking a year off these days. You ever think about that? Traveling, seeing Asia, a lot of people there, must be something to it.
Do you not want me to go to Harvard?
What? No, I just think there is value to being out on the road with nothing but $100 in your pocket. Hell, I'll give you the $100.
If it's about the money, Uncle John, don't worry. I've saved almost everything I've ever earned from all my jobs just for this. Plus, I'm getting financial aid, so it's all pretty much paid for, except one little chunk.
Oh, good. How much more money do you need?
$29,879.
That's the small chunk?
Yes. It's expensive. Oh,
found one! And we need the money by the 15th. Yeah. There's our Mr. Biscuits. Yeah.
I have to go. Yeah, he just walked in.
I didn't know how I was gonna do it, but I had to tell Elaine that our house fund had just become Noreen's college fund.
So how was Patty's?
Really nice. You know, Noreen's a great kid.
Yeah.
So much raw potential. Boy, with the right opportunities.
So I found this great house today. What do you think? It's great. It's a charming starter house on a spectacular tree-lined street, and it has hardwood cabinets. And I love it. And if you go by and take a peek at it and you like it too, then maybe we could...
Whoa. Don't you think we're moving a little fast here?
John, I know it seems scary to be spending all this money on a house, but that's what we've been saving for. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time, but that can't happen to us because we have $30,000 for our house, our home, our future. And no one can take that away from us.
That's what I meant. So Noreen had gotten into college, and Elaine had found our dream house. And these two wonderful things were locked in a death struggle for the same money. Not $30, $30,000. I was forced to try and borrow it.
Hello, dear.
I called my Aunt Jean.
No!
My Uncle Dave.
No!
It was my last option. A man whose ideas were sometimes so dumb, they were brilliant. I had to go to Duff.
In a garden, Duff blows a bird away with a leaf blower.
Hey, man, how you been?
Duff won't look John in the eye.
Hey, John. It's been almost 2 months. What, did you disappear off the face of the earth?
No, I've just been busy.
Well, I've been a little busy, too, with my landscaping company, Landscape Escape. Doesn't mean I have to go and disappear off the face of the earth. Oh, I can't stay mad at you, man.
Ow, Duff, ow, you burned me.
John! John!
John throws him a can of beer.
Tarp.
Yep.
Like a tarpaulin?
No, just tarp. Who can't spell tarp, Duff?
Duff lets rip on a hedge with a chainsaw.
Duff, don't you think you're taking a little too much off the top?
Look, John, I know what I'm doing, okay? I have to taper it so the sunlight will reach the lower leaves during the growing season.
What about this string?
The string is a guide, John. It's just a guide.
I don't know what I'm gonna do, Duff.
You know what your problem is? You don't understand that an oath is an oath. You made a sacred oath to your niece, John.
No, I didn't. It was just an offhand remark.
How much money you got?
$30,000. But that's for, you know, buying Elaine a house.
Right. Look, I'm your friend. I feel like I can talk straight with you. Elaine, I like her. I like her a lot, John. But she's a bitch. She's a dirty, dumb bitch.
Duff, come on.
You know, there's a lot more productive things you can do with that money besides buying a house for Elaine.
Such as?
Such as putting it in a paper bag and throwing it off the face of a cliff. And that's just coming off the top of my head. I do know how you can get the money, though.
How?
Duff plants a dead bush.
You take $1,000, you go down to the horse racetrack, you put it down on a 30-to-1 shot.
What's wrong with you?
John, it's been done, man. It's been done. Kevin Darnell, remember him? He put the money down and he won. He bought a used DeLorean. Crashed it into a tree and died, but, you know, he did get the money. So it can happen.
I was hoping for something just this side of theoretically possible.
You know any criminals, John? Because, You know, criminals have lots of money. How about David Loach?
David Loach from high school? That guy's a psycho.
Okay, you know what your problem is? You're mentally inflexible.
Duff, I hate to ask, but...
John, I'm not rich, you know? I may look it because I have all my expensive tools and my wonderful truck. Like Bill Gates, you know. He may be the richest man in the world, but he doesn't have any money. It's all tied up in stocks. I'm not liquid, John. I'm not liquid.
What does that mean?
It means I don't have any money for you, man.
Well, Duff couldn't give me money, but he could certainly give me advice.
You know what your problem is? You don't take your responsibilities seriously. Maybe you should have thought a little longer before you went and became an uncle.
I'm doing my best, Duff. I know she's overcome a lot to turn out normal, and there haven't been too many people who helped her along the way.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I'm gonna be one of them, because if I don't come through for her now, it's possible she could lose faith or momentum or whatever she's got that's working. I'm getting that money, Duff. Even if I have to go to David Loach.
You're not gonna have to go to David Loach. I've got another idea. Can you get the beer?
Outside the liquor store.
Hey, kids. Dove style a bottle. Time to party. Be 20 each.
I thought it was 15.
That's what the flyer says.
Yeah, but the fine print says price is subject to change. Read the flyer. You happy, you scum? Give me the money. I'm not making money. Do I look rich? I'm barely breaking even here. Go, get out of here, skunks, you pukes. Read the fine print.
That is the most irresponsible thing I've ever seen you do.
Look, I provide a public service, John. One way or another, those kids were gonna get drunk. Maybe they would have drank mouthwash or sniffed model glue, but, you know, they wanted beer. Those are good, honest kids, John. They deliver newspapers, they return old pop bottles all week. They deserve to unwind and get drunk. It's all part of the American dream.
Your American dream just gave you the finger.
It's their freedom.
Duff's van trundles into the driveway of a neat suburban home.
Duff?
A short, homely woman.
Here are your briefs, Walter. Hi, John.
Hi, Mrs. Duffy.
How are you folks, John?
Dead. Still.
Oh, I forgot. I'm so sorry. I'm on medication and it makes me loopy.
Mom!
Say hi to your folks, John.
You have to forgive her. She's been going through this whole empty nest syndrome ever since I moved out.
Moved out? You're like 20 feet from the house.
Yeah. And I love the freedom. You know, I can keep these beauties on as late as I want.
Great.
John, I have a client. Lives over in the Pembroke Hills Estates area. Guy's loaded. Last week, I was just finishing up a job, but I thought I'd do one last round of the property. You know, details?
A shelf of cheese topples over him.
You know, inspection is important to me. I thought I'd check out the whole interior. Although I'm an exterior landscaper, John, I also do interior work. I was hungry, so I thought I'd heat up a brick of cheese.
He starts eating it with his fingers.
I need my cheese. But John, I heard something upstairs. And I thought, I should check this out. So I went up to look around and I saw this painting on the wall. And something just didn't seem right about it. And I touched it, and it moved. And behind the painting, there was this safe. But I heard someone coming, so I gracefully slipped out. The best part, John, is the safe. It wasn't even locked.
Nope. This is the kind of thing, Duff. You turn this corner and it's the whole slippery slope. Your whole moral code goes out the window. No way.
Look, is it moral to let some fat, greasy man roll around naked in a pile of dirty cash when it could be used for something good? Like sending Noreen to college?
John stands up.
We can't do this.
Look, the guy's never home on Sunday nights. So Sunday, we go over there, we slip through the window, which I accidentally left unlocked today, and we grab the money.
The guy won't miss the money?
Have you heard of insurance, John? Have you heard of insurance? It's called insurance. No, the guy's not gonna miss the money. He's not gonna have to pay for the money. The insurance guys are gonna have to pay for the money. And they deserve to pay!
John's dressed in black.
Where are you going?
What are you doing here?
I live here.
I thought you were going to a movie with your father.
No, that was last night. You and I are supposed to go look at that house tonight, remember?
I can't. I've gotta go out.
Why are you all dressed in black? Are you going to rob a bank?
No, baby. I'm Johnny Cash. Hello. But I'll look at the house on the way home, okay? As soon as I'm done robbing that bank. Have a good time.
John and Duff pull up in a leafy neighborhood.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Duff crosses the road, conspicuously keeping his eyes peeled. Duff ducks under a fence.
Under the fence. Under the fence. Wait. Go, 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 go. What are you doing? No, it's open. Psst. John, see those dead bushes? I planted those.
They clamber up onto a balcony.
Okay, who should go first?
Oh, I'm not going in.
What?
Someone has to stay outside and be the lookout in case he comes home.
I thought you said he was going to be out all night.
He will be out all night.
Then why do we need a lookout?
We don't. Just go in.
You go in.
Look, I'm not the one who needs the money. Why should I assume the risk?
What risk?
There is no risk. Just go.
As John climbs through a window, he disturbs a wind chime. He jumps into the room with the shoes, while Duff keeps lookout outside, puffing on a cigarette. A light comes on.
John!
Hello.
John! Good luck, buddy.
Duff runs off through the grounds. Inside the opulent house, John is creeping up the staircase. Reaching the top, he looks around, then finds himself staring down the barrel of a gun.
Well, well. What have we here?
Please don't shoot me.
Oh, I'm not going to shoot you.
Are you going to call the police?
No.
What are you going to do?
My wife died several years ago, you understand, and it's really nice to have someone around.
John's wearing a blonde wig and matronly blue smock dress.
Now what?
Now we're going to Spoon.
Spoon?
Remember when we went to Nova Scotia that spring and we had those sand dabs at that restaurant on the bay?
Yes.
Were they tasty?
Yes.
I don't think we've ever had sand dabs that tasty again. Remember the boat ride over?
Yes.
We drove.
Oh, yeah.
Happy times. Turn.
They flip over in the bed, so they're spooning the other way.
At the petting zoo. All right. Now we do the photo shoot.
Oh, my God.
The man takes an instant photo of them. Later, John's back in his own clothes.
It won't do any good to tell anyone about this, because I'm a respected member of the community, and no one will ever believe you. A mint?
I'm not gay.
I miss her very much, and I haven't been able to properly grieve and let go. Do you understand?
Yeah.
John turns to go stiffly, then breaks out into a run.
Catch you around here again, I'll kill you!
At that moment, Elaine's dad, Mr. Warner, is passing by in his convertible with Rex. John steps out in front of him as he hurries to his car. Mr. Warner and Rex look stunned, while John bashes the wheel and scratches his scalp.
Well, that was enough of that. I had to tell Elaine that Noreen needed our money. And no matter how unpleasant that conversation would be, it couldn't hold a candle to the fetish crime I had just endured.
Hi.
Hi. I'm gonna go take a shower.
Wait. Huh? Don't you think you should tell me what happened at that house?
What?
You said that you were gonna go look at that house we talked about.
Oh, that house. Yeah, I looked at it. It was great. Great.
Oh, God. I am so glad you liked it. Because I did something bad. I can't even believe I did this, but I put in an offer.
What do you mean?
I know. It seems so impulsive, but I just love the house so much, and you do too, so...
What about the $30,000?
It's gone! All of it! In escrow! And we find out tomorrow if they accept the offer! Isn't it so exciting? Everything is working out exactly like we planned. Aren't you thrilled?
Yeah.
You don't look thrilled.
I'm in happy shock.
Duff, you left me there. You said the guy wasn't home on Sunday nights.
I tried to warn you, but you were already up the stairs. What happened?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing happened at all.
Look, if nothing happened, then why are you so angry?
Duff, Elaine just put in an offer on this house. If they accept, our money's locked up. Sorry, Noreen. I hope you like working at Dairy Queen.
Mr. Warner wants to see you in his office.
Thanks, Loretta.
As John goes to Mr. Warner's office, Duff gets on the phone.
Hello, I'm calling regarding the property on Hyden Street. Because I'd like to put in an offer. Oh, you have an offer already now, do you? Well, perhaps I could throw my hat into the ring.
Rex is sitting behind Warner's desk.
Jan. Come on in. So, Jan boy, what did you and my little girl do last night, huh?
Hung out, watched television.
Oh, really? That's funny, because, you know, I was visiting a friend of mine near Pembroke Heights last night, I don't know, 9:30, quarter to 10, and I thought I saw you run out of somebody's house like a bat out of hell. I saw you, Jan. Rex saw you.
No.
No, Jan? Well, that's odd, because it looked just like you, and guess what? He got into a car looked just like your car.
Oh, interesting.
I know you wouldn't lie to me, son, so I guess my eyes were playing tricks on me. I'll just have to watch what's going on more carefully, won't I?
I don't think you're gonna have to watch...
I won't have to watch what? I won't have to watch what? Go ahead, say it.
I should...
Say it! Confess!
I really need to get back to work.
He turns and leaves.
We know. We know, don't we, Rex?
We got the house! I was so worried when I heard that there was another offer, but I guess it fell through. It must be fate! I'm so happy!
Now they're making love.
Should we stop?
Why do you always do that? We get a nice mood going, and then you ruin it. I think you have some intimacy problems, John. I really do. What is that?
John! John, come here!
Is that Jeff?
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Can't ring the doorbell like a human being?
I didn't want to wake up Elaine.
That's why you were revving your engine in the middle of the night?
Okay, well, I guess someone doesn't want $30,000.
From where?
I asked my uncle.
Are you serious? Duff, I don't know what to say.
Don't worry about it, man. Just hop in. We gotta meet him in 15 minutes.
Okay.
John.
Oh, I see.
What is he doing here?
Evening, ma'am.
You want to shut off m'lady?
You want to shut it off for me?
Duff, please.
Maybe you'd like to shut it off for me?
Duff, just please, just sit tight a sec, okay?
What is he doing here? I thought you weren't hanging out with him anymore.
Look, I bumped into Duff, and when he heard about the new house, he was so thrilled for us, he offered to do some free landscaping. Listen, don't wait up, okay? We may have to do some soil tests.
Got soil testing.
Yeah. Check the roots.
Check in the roots.
Don't.
Irrigation.
Duff reverses out of the driveway, then plies into some rubbish bins at the side of the road. As Elaine steps closer, he reverses in a cloud of smoke. John and Duff are sitting with a gray-haired man in a dodgy-looking tattoo parlor.
Come here a lot, Jack?
I don't think that's any of your goddamn business.
Sorry.
So here's the deal. The state lottery jackpot's up to $86 million this week.
I don't think playing the lottery's gonna help me.
Why don't you shut up before I show this shoe your anal cavity? I don't like this guy. I got a feeling, you understand?
He just wants to know what's going on, okay, Uncle Jack?
Uncle Jack looks from Duff to John.
Not here.
My uncle owns one of the biggest liquor stores in this part of the state. He's a very successful man.
That's because I found an opportunity and I exploited. That opportunity, being alcoholics. And after all these years of hard work, I wind up being a goddamn pimp for the state.
The lottery.
Not the lottery. I have one of the biggest lottery outlets in this state. Tomorrow alone will take in over $70,000. You know what I get for that? Pennies! It's an insult.
So tell them the plan.
Women in bikini tops are buffing the car.
Not here.
A roller disco.
I got so much lottery money in my store, I can't fit it into the cash register. I just dump it into a cardboard box underneath the ticket terminal. You imagine how easy it would be for somebody to steal that money?
Yeah, but wouldn't that be bad?
Yeah, that would be very bad, Hamster Dick. Unless I knew who the person was who was robbing me and we had a deal worked out, huh?
Don't you see, man, it's foolproof. We walk in, we stick the place up, we grab the box of money, and we're done.
And you're gonna be there when this happens.
No, I'm going to be in Reno, so nobody smells anything. The kid that's gonna be behind the counter weighs like 8 pounds. And is he gonna piss himself when he sees what a big gun you have, huh?
Gun? No, no way.
Oh, we're not gonna use real guns, John. We're not gonna use real guns.
Yeah, just rob the store, bring me the cash. I'll give you $30,000 for your trouble. You in or out?
Can I think about it?
Yeah, well, I think about cutting off your sack with a dull penknife. Where'd you get it?
What are you doing, man?
Now trying on balaclavas.
Excuse me. Is this 100% cotton? I want something that'll breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. We're going skiing! None of these guns look real, Duff. This one's green. This one turns into a robot. Don't they have any guns that look like real guns?
Maybe we should use slingshots.
Duff, a slingshot is not a real weapon. It's a toy.
Oh, it's not a real weapon, is it, John? Well, maybe you'd like to define the word weapon for me while this plastic baby smashes into your temple at 180 miles per hour.
Hello?
Hi.
Can I help you, John?
That'd be great. We're looking for a gun that looks like a real gun, made out of metal, possibly with some bolt action.
We don't sell realistic weapons here, sir. Our store's policy is to make children's gunplay as nonviolent as possible.
Do you sell spray paint? Can I have your dye?
No, we're cool.
Duff spray paints a couple of toy guns black. Now the pair of them are dressed head to toe in black.
Look, John, we got Mr. Tough Guy here.
Are you ready? No? What?
boys look nice. Are you going to the dance?
Mom? Get out of here!
Outside the Superior Liquor Store.
You nervous?
I guess.
You got your gun?
Yeah. But the paint's still a little sticky.
It looks good, though.
Thanks. Let's do this.
Yeah.
John, wait.
What?
We should make up some fake names.
Why?
Just in case we have to communicate while we're inside.
Oh, okay.
I want to be Kyle. I knew this guy at camp. His name was Kyle. He was maybe 13. He got two girls pregnant, man. Two girls pregnant. Yeah, Kyle. Who are you gonna be?
Steve.
Steve.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve.
Okay, Kyle.
Wait. Wait, I want to change. I want to be Steve.
I'm Steve. You're Carl.
Kyle!
I don't care. I just want to go in there and do this.
Kyle!
Excuse me.
All right, American beef cattle! Nobody does anything stupid and y'all get to go home to your precious TV dinners!
All right, put your hands in the air, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Get them up. Give us lottery money.
It's down underneath.
I'll get the money. If he tries to be a hero, you pop him, Kyle.
I hear you, Kyle. I'm Steve. I'm Steve.
He's Kyle!
Give us the money! Give us the money!
Keep the hands up, schoolboy!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come to Steve.
All right, get on the floor and count to 300.
No skipping any numbers or counting in base 8 or anything like that.
Look at this gun. This one's much better.
Not now. Let's go!
I don't think so, punk ass freeze! You move, I pop you like a pit bull. Now put the box down. Now drop the gun. Drop it.
I'm trying it. The paint, it's stuck.
Okay, get with it, John.
Steve.
My name is Steve.
Drop it.
Go, 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 go.
As the armed Clark struggles with the counter flap, John and Duff speed off in their car. Outside, when the Clark sees they've gone, he shoots the Superior Liquor sign instead. He sees a CCTV camera pointing at him.
Uh-oh.
Outside Duff's.
We almost died. I've never been shot at before. Well, there was one other time, but I didn't know till after, so that doesn't count.
I told you it was a bad idea, Duff. I told you!
You know what your problem is?
Get out of the car!
You're unable to thank people for trying to help you!
Help me get my ass shot off? You know what? I give up. I failed Noreen and I don't care. I just want to get back to my life.
I've been thinking of this scam that involves pizza delivery.
Ow!
You were never Steve!
Hey, kid. It turns out one of these guys about 6 foot, average build. What about the other guy?
He's about the same, only a little heavier.
And you said his name was?
John or Kyle. Or Steve.
And the other guy's name was?
Kyle or John or Steve.
Do you have a permit for the weapon?
Oh, boy, yes, sir.
And how many times did you fire it?
Just once. I shot out the window. I didn't shoot out the sign. They did that on their way out. They shot the sign, not me. And then they doubled back and stole the surveillance tapes. They were crazy. They were crazy. They were crazy.
Can you think of anything else you'd like to tell me right now, son?
I don't know if this would help you, but I do remember the first 4 digits on the license plate of the car.
No, I don't think that would help at all.
What are you, a complete numbskull?
No.
Give me the numbers.
No.
Outside the trailer, a good luck Noreen party is in full swing when John arrives. He parks, then heads into the trailer.
Patty?
Who is it?
It's John.
Hold on!
A guy appears.
How's it going?
Hi.
The guy sidles out.
The doorbell gave out this morning and they couldn't fix it.
A little late for an electrician to come.
You know, I don't think I like your tone, my good man. You got something to say, why don't you just come right out and say it?
Hey.
Another guy comes and goes.
All right, I know I've always been A little too wild for your taste, but, what can I tell you? I got an independent spirit, dude.
And a thing for the electrician's local 214.
Shut up, John. Why are you so mean? Why don't you give me a break?
Well, Patty, I'm sorry. I'm having a really rough time right now. I'm just having trouble getting it together.
John.
She steps closer to him.
Do you remember Mom and Dad's funeral? And that suit you wore?
Yeah, the brown one.
Yeah, and you couldn't tie your tie, and so you asked me to do it for you, but I couldn't do it either.
It was no big deal. The priest did it.
But that is a big deal, John. That is a big deal because... because I'm your older sister, and I was the only shred of family that you had left, and I couldn't even tie your goddamn tie. I mean, look, I know I'm not gonna win the best sister prize. But... God, John. What you are doing for Noreen is so generous and so good. It's nice to know after all this time I have a little brother who maybe sort of loves me.
You know I love you. You're my family.
As they hug, another guy slopes out. Looking burdened, John joins the party.
Uncle John, what a surprise! Everyone, this is my Uncle John. If it wasn't for him, none of this would be possible.
Later that night, John arrives back at his apartment. He sits on the bed, then lies back, and cuddles into the sleeping Elaine's back. He doesn't see her open her eyes and stare into space.
Hey, pull the vehicle forward. Little more. Little more. Ricky, swing it, Ricky. Swing to the branch. Swing your body. You're cutting the branch. Pretend you're a little monkey, but you have a saw in your hand, and you're pruning the tree. You're a monkey pruning. Good. Yeah, no, on the branch, Ricky. Prune, Ricky. Prune. Swing it. Swing on the branch. On the branch, Ricky.
Hey, buddy. How'd you take the news? Did she start to cry? Did she shake? She didn't wobble, did she?
I didn't tell her, Duff, and I'm not going to. Noreen is going to Harvard because I am going to see Loach.
Are you sure?
Yeah. And you're coming with me right now.
A huge branch drops on a car.
Okay, that's an act of God.
Hang in there, Ricky.
Yes, I understand it was a funeral. I guess I goofed up. Yeah, I can see how a happy, happy birthday basket might seem ironic and cruel. But it was an honest mistake. You know, it's not that easy running a small to medium-sized business out of a house, especially this house. Well, I'm sorry he's dead. But things haven't been that great around here either. Can I put you on hold?
After hanging up, Elaine touches her forehead, then picks up the phone again.
Hello?
Daddy? Is it okay if I come over?
Duff and John are at a ramshackle, graffitied house. A tough guy answers.
What do you want?
Hey, is Loach here?
Lift high and lower. Point the toe.
A group of men and a baby are watching women's aerobics on TV when the tough guy shows John and Duff into the living room.
Hey, guys. Old friends of Dave's. I went to school with him.
Yeah, school. I'm sure you've all heard of school. You probably all went there for a couple of days while you were little. I'm just kidding around.
Trying to break the ice.
Why is anybody talking?
Hey, Dave. John Plummer. Remember? I might need a partner for some heavy stuff that's going down.
How heavy?
Well, let's just say it's a little too heavy to lift alone.
Okay, so talk.
John looks at the other guys.
Not here.
An Oriental woman in a dressing gown pulls aside a bead curtain for John and Dave.
Okay, just so we're all on the same page, I'm flying right now. Angel dust. So let's keep it real, boys. Keep it real, and nobody's getting hurt.
A guy gets up and does a high kick.
I could smell your foot. I could actually smell your foot on that one.
He's been acting really strangely. He's been out 3 nights in a row, and the first night he came home, he went straight into the bathroom and took a shower.
That's not good.
He's having an affair, isn't he?
Now, sweetheart, let's not rush the judgment. But yes.
Tell me. Tell me.
No, no, no. I don't want to upset you, dear, until it's absolutely certain that I can't upset you. You let me do some snooping around, and then we'll respond swiftly and without mercy.
So what happened? Did he give you the money?
He said he'd get it for me tomorrow, Duff. Couldn't have been easier.
Now, I don't know how this is going to go down, sweetheart. Things could get a little crazy out there.
I don't want you getting hurt.
Kitten, I gave the VC 18 months to hurt me, and I walked away laughing in their faces. Don't you worry about your daddy.
I'm coming with you.
Oh, no, you're not. This doesn't concern you.
Doesn't concern me. It's my life.
Yeah, and you made a heck of a job out of it. Now, listen to me. This guy is a lump. I don't want you wasting any more time with him. And besides that, who do you think is going to support you?
Well, I can support myself. Once my basket business turns the corner...
Putting bows on faggy little olives and water biscuits is not a job. It's a nice little hobby, but it will never pay the bills.
It's always money with you. Sometimes I think you care more about money than you do me.
Kitten, honey, innocent. I don't want you getting all emotional about this.
Yeah.
Dressed all in black, Warner creeps into the house where John had his fetish episode.
Hello? Is anyone home? Hello?
The owner's behind him.
Well, well, what have we here?
Now, Warner's in the blonde wig and dress and being spooned in bed.
What kind of car did we have when we first got married? I think it was an Eldorado.
Yes.
It was an Eldorado, wasn't it? Turn.
The man takes an instant photo of them.
I'm not a homosexual, you understand. I miss my wife very much. But...
I lost my wife 3 years ago.
Then you know what I'm going through.
Well, not to this extent, per se, but I have a rough idea.
Well, you can go ahead and put your clothes on.
You think I can have some privacy? I feel funny getting dressed around other men. Hmm.
The man leaves the room, remembering to take his gun with him. Warner goes into the album where the man put the photo and finds it full of other pictures of men dressed up as his wife posing with him. He finds John's amongst them.
Miss Plummer. I'm here investigating a holdup of a liquor store that occurred just a short time ago over on 4th Street.
Wow. Boy, I don't know anything about that.
That's odd. Here's why. The license plate in your car matches the license plate of the car used during the robbery.
Boy, that's just not possible. My car was with me the whole night.
Where were you?
With my friend. Having a couple beers.
Where?
I just don't really remember. Because I was, you know, a little messed up.
You drove drunk.
I'm sorry?
You were in your car, and you were drunk. So you drove drunk.
Not that I can recall.
What did you say your friend's name was?
Walter Duffy. Duff.
And this Duff will go ahead and say that you were with him at the time of the robbery?
Yeah, he will. Very much so. Yeah.
Hmm. You seem a little shaky, Plummer.
The booze. It's a bad scene.
It sure as hell is.
You told him you were with me. You gave him my name.
You want me to lie to a cop?
Yes. Yes, I do. Where the hell is Loach?
He'll be here. He told us to park in this lot at 3:00 and to wait until he showed up.
Yeah, well, it's 10 after. He's not gonna show.
Yes, he will. This is a plan that, unlike your plans, will actually succeed. And do you know why, Duff? because I did a little creative visualization, and I saw the plan succeeding in my mind's eye.
Luch is robbing a bank.
It's not gonna show.
Yes, he will.
Let's go! Let's hit it! Stop the car!
Yeah, I told you he'd show up.
Try! Hit it! Hit it!
They robbed a bank! They robbed a bank, John!
Hey, where's my money?
Drive a gun!
John, just drive! They got a gun in your hand!
No, I'm not going anywhere until I get my 30,000.
Get these guys out of the car! Get them out of the car!
I want my money!
You're dead! You are dead!
No, wait.
You are so dead!
John knocks Luch out with a steering wheel lock, then speeds off.
Get back,
outside Duff's.
I hit David Luch in the head.
I hit him.
It felt good, Duff.
Well, that's super. Nice plan, by the way. I guess I couldn't visualize it because there was a gun pointed at my mind's eye. See you later.
Where are you going?
I don't know, but I'm certainly not going to stick around anywhere near the getaway car.
I'm just supposed to leave my car here.
You know what your problem is, John? You don't know when to cut your losses.
Oh, you think that's my problem, Duff? That's not my problem. You want to know what my problem is?
As he bashes Duff's head on the bonnet, they're surrounded by cop cars. Later at the police station, the two of them are sitting in silence in the detective's office. Duff looks over his shoulder to make sure no one's watching, then goes to a desk drawer and takes out a toothbrush. He holds it up, contemplating it for a moment, before sniffing it. He rubs the bristles against his tongue and, liking the taste, does it again. Turning to a mirror, Duff then starts using it to brush his moustache. As he moves down to his goatee, John casts a sideways glance at him.
It's a two-way mirror, Duff.
The detective's watching him from the other side. Duff touches the mirror, then tosses the toothbrush away and sits down again. The bald detective joins them in the office, then sits down behind his desk.
I turned 40 last week. Do you know what I did? I got my colon scoped by Dr. Spencer. Do you know what he told me? He said, Detective Charles, you have one of the cleanest rectums I've ever seen. And do you know why? During my quiet time here at work, I use a toothbrush that I have here in my desk to get to the really hard-to-find spots. Just for a really good scrubbing.
Duff and John look at each other.
You guys think you're so smart, don't you?
No.
The way you made the surveillance tapes just disappear, you just got rid of them somehow.
What tapes?
Will you do me a personal favor, son?
Sure.
Don't ever play me like a flute, okay? Because you see, you two idiots got real lucky. I don't have enough to keep you here. But mark my words, gentlemen, you're going down. I mean, you're either going down, or by God, I'm gonna take you down. But either way, once you're down,
you'll stay down! You'll stay down! You will stay down! Now get up! And get out! Get up, get out, 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 get up, get out!
Get up and go, get up and go!
Don't touch my door!
Later, John arrives back home and finds the apartment in darkness. Elaine switches on the light.
Hello?
Elaine, I know you're wondering where I've been, and I know I've been distracted and weird, but I promise you, everything's gonna get back to normal. I love you, and...
She punches him onto the floor.
I'll get that.
You lying...
What did I do?
All this time, you pretended to be a decent human being, and now I find out you're a sick, twisted pervert!
What?
Where did you get this?
From Daddy. You are a drag queen! You are a cross-dressing transvestite freak! And you lied to me!
I did lie to you, but let me tell you why. Noreen got into Harvard and she needed $30,000 and I promised to pay for it. So I tried to steal the money from some old guy, but as you can see, I ended up in a wig and a dress spooning with him.
Spooning?
Yes. And then I went into a liquor store with a gun and almost got my ass shot off. And this afternoon, I came this close to driving the getaway car for a bank robbery. Oh, yeah, and I hit David Loach in the face with that steering wheel club you gave me for Christmas.
Crazy David Loach from high school?
Plus, there's your father.
What did you do to my father?
Nothing. That's the problem. He's always watching me, Elaine, threatening me. And when I come home, he's here to take you out on dates.
What dates?
The ones where he squires you around town and you climb into bed smelling like his English leather. And I have really freaky dreams about England.
Why didn't you come to me in the first place? Why was the hardest thing to tell me the truth?
Of all the things I've done these past few days, the one thing I couldn't do was disappoint you.
Do you like my baskets?
Yeah.
You don't think they're just some hobby?
No, they're amazing.
Oh, John.
She flings her arms around him, and they hug tightly.
I know where we can get $30,000.
Where?
From my dad.
We're not borrowing money from your father.
I know. We're gonna take it from him.
Take as in steal?
Mm-hmm. Once when he was drunk, he told me that he keeps about $50,000 in cash at work.
At Homespital?
Yep. It's just sitting there, waiting for us. This is gonna be easy and fun.
I don't know, Elaine. Stealing from your father?
Yeah. So, tell me again about how you hit David Loach in the face.
Well, let's just put it this way. His ass was kicked.
You are so sexy right now.
She jumps on him.
You're not crying.
Why would I be crying?
From bed to the shower.
She couldn't spell tarp?
Uh-uh.
Huh.
Under the breakfast table.
Wait. I have a confession to make.
What?
I never saw the house.
Isn't it cute?
Yeah.
I love it.
He kisses her neck, squishing her face against a window of the new house.
Kitchen.
Driving across town, she gives him a kiss.
Elaine said we needed a third person for the plan, and there was only one place we could go. We had to go to Duff.
Duff joins them on his front lawn and picks something out of Elaine's gift basket.
What's this?
It's Gruyere cheese. It's good.
Really? Is it good? Is it mild and nutty, yet piquant in flavor, aged for 2 years and named after the Gruyères district in Switzerland? I happen to know what Gruyères is, Elaine. I've been to Gruyères.
He throws it back at her.
Gruyère is in France.
Whatever, Elaine.
So will you help us?
Mom, privacy! You hit my head in the car.
I was frustrated. I'm sorry, Duff.
I have to wear a Band-Aid now.
Are you gonna help us out or not?
I can't stay mad at you, man. But Elaine, we have to make a promise that we're not going to say any more mean things about each other.
I have never said anything mean about you.
You're a lying bitch.
You're such a loser.
Skank.
Okay, super. So we're all on board.
Dressed all in black again, John stands looking at himself in the mirror. He's joined by Duff, then Elaine.
Well, hello.
They strike a martial arts pose. Later, they're in Duff's van, parked outside Homespital.
All right, everybody ready?
How about you, Anton?
Yeah.
Griselda?
I'm ready, Steve.
It's Stan.
I thought you liked Steve.
You saw what happened to Steve. Screw Steve. I hate Steve.
The men don balaclavas, Elaine a pretty hat.
Let's do this.
They climb out of the van with a holding, then creep over to the doors. Duff puts on some headphones attached to an electronic device.
Duff,
what is that?
You know what you're doing?
I'd like to think the answer to that is obvious.
He's about to attach the device when a cleaner comes out with a bag of rubbish. They quickly take cover, then the cleaner heads back inside.
Cleaners. They're leaving.
Ow! Elaine pulls the plaster off Duff's forehead, then quickly sticks it across the door snip so it doesn't lock. When the last cleaner leaves, they sneak up to the door, unaware that Warner's spying on them from his car.
We've got a little surprise for you. Don't we, Rex?
Inside, Duff gets out another device which he attaches to the vault.
Duff, is that silly putty?
In a manner of speaking, yes, it is.
You guys, it's open.
They open the vault to find Rex waiting for them. He leaps up and sinks his teeth into Duff's crotch.
Wow, he really likes you.
Rex!
My little girl with those two lumps.
As Warner creeps towards the building, Detective Charles is watching him from across the street.
There's money in here.
Let's go look in his office.
Ooh.
Smash a window and make it look like someone broke in.
Smash a window? Think I'm a little busy here, guys. Think he might have caught a whiff of my Gruyere's cheese.
I can't find it. And there's not one single picture of me in here.
I bet it's in there.
What?
Oregon Man.
As Warner closes in on the building, Duff throws a prosthetic arm and hand for Rex.
Snack time. Go get the hand.
After locking Rex in an office, he opens a blind, then picks up a walking frame to throw it through the window. The glass is reinforced and the frame bounces off. The frame flies off and knocks over a mannequin. In Warner's office, John's dismantling an anatomical model of the human body when he finds the cash in the bowels.
It's here. All right, let's go.
Hold it.
What is it?
You. In command. Taking control. You're very sexy right now. I want to do it right here.
What?
Right on my dad's desk.
She whips off her coat, revealing a sexy black bra underneath. Duff starts throwing a selection of chairs at the window. And when they don't work, he screams at the glass. Outside, Detective Charles licks his fingers, sticks his cigar in his mouth, then gets out of his car. Duff throws everything at the window, but it still doesn't shatter. He gets tangled up in a walking frame and falls backwards onto his bum. Charles is striding towards the entrance. Inside, Duff rocks up in an electric wheelchair and gets into position in front of the window. Just outside, Charles checks the bullets in his handgun. Duff takes off his glasses, then drives himself straight at the window. He slides down the glass.
Okay.
Rex manages to escape from the office and makes a beeline for Duff.
Joe, hospital. Detective Charles? Back up, immediately.
Get away! Get away!
John and Elaine are interrupted by Loach.
The
think you could just leave me there?
Loach?
Cheap shot me and then leave me to get pitched?
David, listen, I know we sort of got our signals crossed back at the bank, but I've got $50,000 here, and I only need 30.
Well, if it isn't Big Bad David Loach. Nice nose.
Elaine, why don't you go back in the closet? I can handle this, okay?
Did you enjoy getting the crap kicked out of you?
Elaine, okay.
You back for seconds, little man?
Woo! No, Elaine. Hey! Thank you, Mr. Warner.
Don't thank me, Joy Boy. I thought it was you. Now, come over here and stand where he was standing. You want to explain what's going on?
Well, Mr. Warner...
Shut your cake hole and let's get it on. Let's go, boy.
In all fairness, sir, I'm younger and in better shape than you.
I don't want to hear from you.
Okay, stop it.
Well, Mr. Warner, you're going to hear from me. A lot. For example, you know how I told you I never had sex with your daughter? Well, I wasn't being entirely truthful. We did it the first night we met. And ever since then, we've been banging together like a pair of cymbals in an overworked marching band. So get used to it.
I'll get used to it. As soon as you get used to walking around with your balls in a fanny pack!
As Duff crawls outside with Rex on his back, John and Elaine hide from Warner behind a pillar.
Come on!
Armed with a prosthetic leg, Warner stalks outside.
I urge you to drop it.
John and Elaine make a run for the van.
God, wait! Stop!
Stop, get in!
Stop! Okay, go! John, go! Stop!
Yeah, where were you?
Stop!
Drop the weapon. Put it down.
But they're stealing. They're stealing from my man.
Calm down.
From my man.
Citizen, calm down.
And they were going to have sex on my desk.
Listen to me. These won't hurt a bit.
Drive!
I'm trying, I'm going!
We've got to get rid of the dog.
Screw the dog!
No! Stop the dog!
Oh my God.
Now surrounded by cop cars, John drives up onto the pavement, then stops an inch from Warner, who's kneeling on the ground in front of Charles.
I'm fine.
I'm sorry, but you were mean to me.
I'm fine, really.
It's a good thing you're here, officer, because a crime has just been committed.
Put the dog down.
Number four?
Oh, yeah. Come to Steve.
Now, number three?
Duff.
Oh, yeah. Come to Steve.
That's him. That's the guy in the middle and the guy next to him. Those are the guys that robbed the liquor store. They shot the sign, and they stole the porno mags that were missing and the chocolate milk. Oh, geez, they're guilty, man.
Son, you might as well tell me everything. You got your buddy and your girlfriend in a room down the hall, and you know one of them's gonna spill.
I don't think so. Elaine won't talk. She's my fiance. We have a bond.
Fair enough. What about Mr. Duffy?
No way. Duff's my oldest friend in the world.
Look, I don't know why you guys are pointing the fingers at me, okay? He did it. He planned it all. He's the criminal mastermind here. Just give me a pen. I'll sign a blank piece of paper. You can fill out whatever you want.
This is not good. Breaking and entering, animal cruelty, attempted vehicular manslaughter. This is bad. This is really, really bad.
In court, Elaine, Noreen, and Patty are sitting behind John.
Okay, look, you are so going to jail. I think the best idea is to plead insanity. What do you say?
All rise. Court is officially in session. The Honorable Emmett Cook presiding. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Shall we begin?
The judge is the widower who made John dress up as his wife. John gives him a friendly wave and mouths, "You remember me?" When the judge doesn't respond, John writes on a pad, "I have the picture." He reads it out in a whisper, then grins.
I see no cause. So the charges are dismissed.
Justice!
I want a case.
Nighttime at John and Elaine's apartment. Under a full moon, John's sitting up on the roof having a beer. Duff clambers up behind him with a six-pack. A can rolls off to the ground. Then Duff slides down to sit next to John.
Hey. What are you doing here?
Look, I had to talk, John. Look at me, I can't go to prison. I wouldn't last a day in there. They'd pass me around like a bag of Oreos. Sorry, man.
He gives John a crumpled envelope.
I mean it. This is $1,000, Duff. What am I supposed to do with this? You know what your problem is?
What?
You're too good a friend.
He offers Duff the beers, but Duff drops them and falls off the roof. Now, at the horse races.
People always talk about fate. I never used to believe in all that. I'd always hoped we were masters of our own destiny. And my destiny had become a bet on a horse named Milady. That, believe it or not, was a 30-to-1 shot. I had tried a lot of different ways to get the money, and all it ever got me was punched, shot at, and arrested. So here I was, pinning Noreen's hopes for higher education on a four-legged animal that, well, probably couldn't win this race if it was shot out of a cannon.
And trailing is number 5, Milady. Making it move from behind alongside number 5, Milady.
But for some reason, that day, my horse ran the race of his life. So was that fate? I don't know. But I do know this. If you show up, do your best, and spoon with the occasional judge, then you don't have to believe in fate. Because fate will believe in you. Things worked out. Elaine and I got married. Noreen couldn't be there because she was off at college, so Patty was the maid of honor. And there on the steps of our charming starter home, surrounded by our special friends, it felt like we were finally starting to live our dream. The only thing I didn't figure out was how Duff got that $1,000.
Well, well, what have we here?
Oh. Aww.
Duff dressed up as the judge's wife.